better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I am ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share a secret with you. Sodi. In this awesome little bag is 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 210 milligrams of potassium, and 70 milligrams of magnesium. Now, the sodium in here is Australian lake salt. Now, I'm going to mix it up right now. I do this every day, sometimes twice a day. And the thing which a lot of people don't realize is they're not hydrated. And if you're thirsty after warm-up when you're at jiu-jitsu, you're not hydrated. So just drinking water is not good enough. I'm going to give that a little stir. I have 600 mils of water here. Some of you might like 500, depending on how salty you like it. And there is a good amount of salt here. Just drinking water, you're going to pass that. You're going to sweat that. Ooh, delicious. And the flavors are awesome. I really like this one. So for me, when I'm having this, 600 mils is the right amount. I really like it. It's not too strong, but I know that it's making a difference in me keeping the water where it needs to be, which is in my muscles, in my bloodstream. And if you want to roll better, staying hydrated is absolutely key. If you go to sodi.com.au, that's S-O-D-I, and use the code Bulletproof15, you can get 15% off your order with Sodi. Stay hydrated, friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, we love you and we appreciate that you like what we do. And it was funny, I was in the States recently and plenty of love over there. It was awesome. And tipping is a big thing in the United States. I noticed that. Tipping's gone up with inflation, Joe.
That's some fucking bullshit because the tipping over there will run you into the ground.
It's surprising. And yeah, it was minimum tip 20%. I was like, hang on. 20? 20 is minimum? Oh my God. Shit, I should have brought more.
Aussie but dollar, not that strong at the moment.
No, we are so, the Aussie dollar is sucking right now. It was a good time, but it made me think of this human exchange where someone, they're just doing their job really well. And you're like, man, I want to pay this person back somehow. And I had conversations with people recently of them being like, oh man, I just love all the stuff you do. Love to help you however I can. And I said, well, you could tip us by liking what we're doing, subscribing to our channels, and then, or following if you're on audio, and then give us a rating. For more people like your good selves to find this, we need those ratings. Otherwise, we become kind of invisible, whether it's on Spotify or whatever other platform you're listening on. So help us out. We'd very much appreciate it. Like, subscribe, but also give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate you.
Bigos.
Now, we've got some questions, Joseph.
We've got a couple questions coming in. Let's go first cab off the ranks.
Hello, my name is Ray. I've been listening to the show for a long time, but This is my first time reaching out. I am a 36-year-old woman, 3-stripe white belt, been training a little over a year. I was doing 2 days of boxing, 2 days of jiu-jitsu, and 2 days of weightlifting every week, with the 7th day off to recover.
Nice.
But I have suffered some sort of mysterious hip injury. It's not like I was in the middle of something and felt a pop or anything weird like that. Just slowly over time, stretching before practice became less and less effective at resolving a aching hip. So I went to the doctor. They assigned me a month of physical therapy, which really didn't do a lot for my pain. And also, they were not able to identify the nature of my injury. So we still don't know if it's a sprain or a strain or a tendon issue or what. And I'm wondering about my path back to jiu-jitsu. What signs should I be looking for before I return? And what precautions should I take as I return? Thank you guys so very much. You have a great show, and I always love listening to it. Have a wonderful day.
Oh,
what a legend.
What a sweetie.
Thanks Ray.
Really appreciate
it. Hey, do you reckon Ray's from Chicago?
I don't know. I don't want to assume. You don't.
Nor do I, but I like trying to pick the accent. I'm like, doctor.
You don't want to project, because Chicagoans are very proud, and you don't want to mislabel somebody, especially if she's like no, I'm from Iowa. I'll kill you. Like, don't three-stripe white belt, bro.
How dare you?
It's okay.
She boxes too, man. Don't fuck around.
Yeah, she fucking trains hard.
Look, I think the first thing I'm always wary of, whenever you get joint pain, you want to make sure everything is structurally intact. So if you haven't had an MRI to say, oh, maybe, like, because, you know, you could tear a labrum or you could, there could be a bunch of stuff going on there that we just don't know about. So I don't want to misattribute or say the wrong thing. You know, this is not medical advice. But if you were here right now and you're my client, I was trying to help you, we'd want to know the exact nature of the injury. So the fact that they couldn't actually tell you what was wrong with your hip, that for me straight away is like, oh, that needs further investigation. So let's just find out if all the structures of the hip are okay. Because, for example, a friend of mine had hip pain for many years and he just thought he was tight. But actually, he had a bony growth over where there should have been a dip, but it just meant his hip couldn't move properly.
Yeah.
And this is a genetic thing. And he actually had to get surgery for them to grind it.
Shave it off.
It's pretty brutal. And this is just well beyond like my pay grade in terms of giving you advice. But this is what I'd say the caveat on that is, if your hip is structurally sound, there's no issues in that way, what you want to have a look at is identifying what makes it worse, because this can be one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle. A lot of the time, people are always like, yeah, just chuck more stuff on. This will make it better. This will make it better. When actually there might be something habitual or something underlying which is causing you a lot of hip pain. So a friend of mine, he had really bad hip problems and it was related to his car. He had bucket seats, so he sat low. He's a long leg human, but his hip was always lower than his knee. So he's chronically in this position. And the way he sits when he drives, he turns his foot out to the side, you know? And he ended up with impingement and piriformisitis. So anyway, this is just an aside. One of the big changes he had to make was he had to sit up on a cushion to elevate his hip because he wouldn't get new car seats because he fucking loves those bucket seats.
Fuck, that's no longer Fast and Furious.
No, bruh. So once he actually changed his sitting position, this alleviated a lot of stress in his hips. It didn't fix it entirely, but it took a lot of pressure off. So my tip would be, once you know your hip is sound, it's not actually a structural issue, then I would say try and identify what might be causing the problem from a more chronic point of view. Like you said, it wasn't like an acute snap and something went wrong. This is built up over time. So we need to have a look at that. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, I agree with all that. Refresh me. Did Ray Seixas do jits, kickboxing and boxing?
Boxing and lifting.
Boxing and lifting, okay. Potentially, I don't know, but could be training too much.
Possibly. Right?
Could be a thing. Could also not be. But that's worth looking into. And that's not going to fix your acute, like the pain that you're in right now. But yeah, just looking at like, all right, am I also doing a full-time job? And maybe I need to back off on something that I'm doing a little bit. Jiu-jitsu, you can play a very hip-dominant game.
Yeah.
I like to play a lot of X-Guard, Butterfly Guard, that kind of thing. And I'm always pulling people in using, like onto loading the hooks. Them up. Yeah. And so if I've got something going on at the front of the hip, maybe it's a little bit irritated, who knows why, maybe I've been fucking sitting down a lot, that style of game might, like, I might be really fucking sore after training.
Yeah.
It becomes a chronic thing. On the flip side, if I go, hey, I'm just going to take my hips out of the equation and play more top game for a little while.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm no longer like using that area in the same way. And it's really quite different on the body. So have a look at what you're doing in jiu-jitsu. That might also be a bit of a clue as to what's causing it. Your return might be, okay, let's focus on stuff that doesn't aggravate it.
Yep.
Once you get to a point where it's no longer an issue, then you can reintroduce.
Boxing does set your hips up in a certain way. And what I found is when I was boxing, I boxed for 2 years, my right calf got fucking jacked because you're always trying to keep your back heel off the ground for like the moving forward and backwards, right? Mm. You don't train both sides in boxing. You're like, no, this is my lead hand and this is my power hand. And that's how they train. What can happen is...
I just fucking stand square and
stand
bang.
Stand square and just swaying, yeah, baby. Bam, bam.
That's why they call me Joey Vitor Worthington.
I thought it was the natural, but sure. Let's just, AKA...
In Brazil.
Just throw it on there. Joey TRT Worthington. thank you, Vitor Belfort. We love you. You might be doing something which is dumping a lot of weight into that hip. You might have a tight knee or a tight calf on one side, which means... because you're tighter on one side, you're using that side too much. So it can be a compensation thing.
I got one more piece of advice.
Please.
For Ray. It sounds to me like the physical therapist you went to are maybe not the right one for the job.
Yep.
I would be getting leads from people in the game. Go to people at jiu-jitsu. Go to the higher belts because they're the ones that have usually dealt with the most amount of injuries.
Sure.
And be like, who do you guys see when you got a fucking bad shoulder or whatever? Because they're going to be like, oh, I got to, you know, hopefully I got a dude or I got a girl. You got to go see them. They're the best.
Yep.
When you see someone that has a holistic view, they understand jiu-jitsu, they get it, and that, like, that can be the difference between an outcome and never getting to an outcome, which is, yeah. Oh, we treated you for a month and don't know what the issue is. Yeah. That's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, and look, it could be a good outcome versus they're like, well, you got to see a surgeon. And the surgeon's like, well, you have to get surgery, and then that might not actually be true.
Yeah.
You know?
100.
Cool.
Keep us updated, by the way. Please. I'd love to hear what the outcome is there, Ray.
Hopefully that was helpful.
How are we doing, guys? My name's Blaine. I'm a 23-year-old white belt. Been training for about 7 months now. My main question here is about injury recovery. So a couple months ago, I took a pretty hard elbow into the side by a 14-year-old girl and popped something in my ribs. I got x-rays. Nothing's broken or anything like that. They just think it's intercostal muscle strain. Mm-hmm. So I took 2 weeks off after that, stretched, got light rolling in. But it just keeps coming back and it's actually spread in between my shoulder blades. I got sharp pain and even down into my lower back a bit and my rib cage. So my question is, I have a tournament on Saturday, which I'll be competing in. And after that, I'm looking to take time to rehab this injury. How would you guys go about it? I'm 6'8 and 260 pounds. So I know before I get back into training, I really need to get my core, my upper back and my lower back dialed in. I've been following your guys' program. But right now, I think the injuries are inflamed enough that anytime I target them directly, target the muscle groups directly, it just inflames the injury. So I'm curious how you guys would go about recovering from this injury. What would be your approach and any recommendations you have? Thank you, guys.
Bruh, sounds like the 14-year-old girl gave old Blaine the fucking dim muck.
Oh, God.
Death touch. Just like, oh, no, it's just a rib thing, and then it's just spread like...
Poor Blaine. Blaine sounds like a big human. And
6'8".
Just got 260, bro.
Bro, that's a huge surface area to have pain too. Yeah.
Look.
That's a shit injury.
Ribs. 2 weeks.
I'm picking up here that a lot of people getting injured from training jiu-jitsu. I don't want to go out on a limb and say some crazy shit.
Fuck, Joe. That's controversial, the fact you'd even say that.
I know. It's a hunch, if you
will. How dare you? How dare you? You're a conspiracy theorist. You get that fucking tinfoil hat. Get the fuck out of here. No, I look into it. 2 weeks is not enough time, Blaine. I don't know who you talk to. You need to go back and have a listen to our rib injuries episode. It's going to take months. Ribs, like sternal cartilage, takes forever to settle down. So if it's not a cracked rib and your intercostal muscles are okay, you can irritate the cartilage that surrounds your rib cage. And that shit just doesn't go away in 2 weeks. Also, what the fuck are you doing a tournament for? You can't do our workouts, but you're going to do a tournament? Are you fucking crazy, bro? No, don't do the tournament.
It's 5 days ago he recorded the message.
He won. He broke his other rib.
Yeah.
He's champion, but now can't breathe, shit, or laugh. Look, here's the thing, man. Ribs, we've had a few questions about this. It is incredibly hard because your ribs are always moving. When you breathe, there's always this expand, contract. It's always happening, so you can't get rid of that. But training jiu-jitsu and taking any, it's not even just the sit-ups and stuff. It's any direct impact. Like, that's what you had. You had a direct impact injury from a young but deadly lady. Mate, the fact that it's gotten worse and you're feeling this in other parts of your rib cage is because you are most likely trying to compensate to work around it and it's creating more problems. You're not going to want to hear this, my guy, but I'm going to say you need to just take a month to fucking chill. And also, you need to get treatment. One of the things which is difficult is getting blood flow in there to help things heal and settle down. That actually requires a little bit of really soft manual work to help things settle down. Doing more work doesn't equate to better, which is, you've kind of touched on that. Doing more exercises isn't the thing. The hardest thing for you, my big rig friend, is chilling. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, chilling, like, don't just lie on the couch.
No.
But, like, it's not about working out, and you just, You can't do anything that's going to aggravate it. And anything in jiu-jitsu is going to aggravate it. And probably most things in the gym are going to aggravate it. Like, you could do some biceps if you wanted to. But even that, right, you might end up, using your serratus or your lat, and then you're like, oh, I flared it up again, you know. So don't even train arms. Yeah, I think the manual therapy is a huge one. I would be, like, I've always really liked needling, whether it's acupuncture or dry needling. I found, like, for those nitty-gritty kind of areas like that that are, like, hard to get into, man, needling for me is a fucking big one. Mm. But again, go find a therapist that does that kind of thing, whether it's hands or needles or some other shit. I think that's a great way forward.
Yeah, definitely. And the hardest thing is to accept that with connective tissues, and that's what, you know, cartilage can form that as a point. I might be wrong in that. Cartilage might classify as a hard tissue, but what I'd say is it takes longer to heal. It's not the same as getting a bruise or a muscle tear and it heals in a couple of days. And when it calms down is not up to you. So if you've got other things going on in your life that are stressful, that can also affect it as well. So yeah, definitely, man, it takes longer than you expect, and you definitely need to find somebody who can help you smooth out the rough edges on that one.
Yeah. Kind of overarching this whole thing, rib injuries, of all the kind of minor jiu-jitsu injuries you get, are probably the most frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you sort of feel fine.
Yeah.
Right? If you're just walking around and doing your day-to-day, like, I feel good. But also when you flare it up, you kind of just set yourself back.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you did good. You took a couple of weeks off and then you flared it up again. Now you're back at square one.
Yeah.
So if you don't treat it with that respect and take a good chunk of time off like you're suggesting, JT, you're fucking stuck in this limbo for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. But we feel for you, Blaine. We feel for you, and let us know how you go in terms of treating that and your path to recovery.
I think that's an all-American Q&A coming through today.
It is.
From Ray and Blaine.
Yeah, our cousins. We appreciate that? You.
Yeah, fucking very cool.
Represent. We've got to get more familiar with the accents so we don't mislabel anybody.
Ray, I want you to let me know if I was right in saying Chicago, or if I was wrong, and in which case, where are you from?
I'm camp, not Chicago.
You gonna have a go? Have a go.
No, I can't. I can't pick. I have no idea. I'm just gonna say that I don't believe she's from Chicago. But hey,
I mean, well, that's a pick of sorts.
It is. Yeah, that is my. That's my pick. I don't. Okay. I couldn't pick the dialect exact.
Fuck! I can't wait to find out now.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Guys, if you want to leave us a question, go to the website, bulletproof@bjj.com. Go to the podcast page. You can record us a voicemail. We'll play it on the episode. We'll even answer the question. We'll see you on the next one.